This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. All this week, WBUR has been reporting on Alzheimer's, the debilitating brain disease that afflicts more than 5 million Americans. The series is called Fade to Darkness. It is not a happy story, particularly for the families coping with the disease. But while a treatment seems to be a ways off, there is promising medical research underway.
And we're going to talk about that right now with Dr. Risa Sperling. She directs the Center for Alzheimer's Research and Treatment at Brigham and Women's Hospital. And Dr. Sperling, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, before we dive into the latest diagnostic and treatment research, can you just explain in lay terms what we think happens to the brain with Alzheimer's?
So in Alzheimer's disease, we think that a number of what we call proteins become abnormal in the brain. So you probably have heard about something called amyloid plaques. Mm-hmm. This is a protein we all make normally, but in Alzheimer's disease, it starts to accumulate in clumps and plaques. And we also know that nerve cells begin to die, and they sometimes die with what we call tangles, which is a different protein. So it's still a bit of a black box exactly how these two protein abnormalities go together, but we know they're the hallmark of Alzheimer's beginning in the brain.
Dr. Sperling, I understand you're about to embark on a large clinical trial. Can you describe the study?
So this is actually a study that we're still in the planning stages, so I don't think it will start for another year or so. But it's a trial where we will take individuals who have evidence of amyloid in their brain but are still normal. Maybe they have a little bit of memory complaint, but they're still normal by any standards. And ask the question, if we lower that amount of amyloid in their brain, can we prevent the emergence of symptoms in Alzheimer's disease? So I think of it as what we call a secondary prevention trial, meaning the disease has begun, but we're going to try to prevent the symptoms.
Now, do we know how to lower the amyloid level?
So I think we have a number of compounds that are currently in clinical trials that have shown evidence that they can lower amyloid burden in humans. What we don't yet know is whether lowering that amyloid burden really will translate into symptom improvement or delaying the onset of symptoms, and that's what this trial would do. There are ongoing trials with these drugs right now at the stage of mild to moderate dementia, and I greatly hope that some of those will be positive.
My understanding is that one of the challenges here is trying to convince people who, you know, might have Alzheimer's in their families to willingly participate in the trials. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. So not just this new trial that we hope will start in a year or so, but our ongoing trials. The real bottleneck right now is in finding people who are willing to dedicate their time and donate their time to participate in research. There are a number of compounds, a number of scans and other things that we're doing very active research projects on, and the bottleneck is getting people to come in and be able to be willing to participate in research.
Well, WBUR's Sasha Pfeiffer reported on this very challenge this morning in getting people to participate. She profiled the family of Elaine Maraska, who was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's when she was just 53. So I gather researchers like you would like to get her kids into a trial or into some of the research, but it's a tough decision for them whether or not to be tested for a disease long before the onset of symptoms, knowing that no cure is currently available. And here's how Elaine's children, Kristen and Dennis, put it in our piece this morning.
To me, it would seem like a death sentence hanging over your head. I would think about it every day. You know, is it going to start now? Anytime I misplace my keys, I'd be like, is that just me being forgetful, or is it an indication of something else? I think your mind has a tendency to wander and always go down that worst-case scenario.
I'd rather be naive and not know about it and just enjoy my life than try to do all these things because one day I might get it. Like, I would rather just live my life the normal way, and if it happens, it happens.
So some understandable sentiments being expressed there. But how would you go about helping potential test subjects like Kristen and Dennis make that decision?
So in particular, we have an opportunity for early onset families where we actually would not reveal their genetic status to them. And we, in fact, want people who both have mutations or gene changes that cause Alzheimer's disease and their siblings who do not. So there certainly is the opportunity to participate in research and not have that genetic information revealed. And in fact, perhaps that's best until we know more information. Hmm. But I would certainly encourage them to reach out. The Alzheimer's Association Trial Match has many opportunities for people of all ages. And the particular study I mentioned is something called Dominantly Inherited Alzheimer's Network, which is going around the world looking for individuals who have families with early onset Alzheimer's disease.
This idea of having people participate in the test and not revealing the results, ethically sticky at all, or are there any concerns that that would raise along those lines?
Yes, I think you're raising the exact ethical problem. So with some genetic tests, we fully know that they mean, unfortunately, that person will get Alzheimer's disease. But the majority of the genetic tests we have and the majority of these imaging measures, we know that it increases their risk, but we don't know by how much, and that's quite individual. So it's an ethical question whether when do we tell people that they have the beginning of Alzheimer's disease in their brain if we don't fully know what that means for them in 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years. So at the moment, in many of our research projects, we don't reveal all of this information, but I think we are soon, as a field, coming to the point where we may have to reveal it because it may make a difference. I hope greatly that we'll be able to offer treatments to those who have amyloid, and then, of course, we would need to be able to tell them.
You mentioned amyloid again, and I'm wondering if, given that that's where the focus is and that's where most of the research money is going, is there enough being done to explore other potential areas that might reveal a treatment or a cure for Alzheimer's?
That's an excellent question, and I believe that the field realizes we do need to be broader, that although amyloid is one of the key factors, it's not the only key factor, and we have had some disappointing results with some amyloid-based therapies. Therefore, we should continue to look for other possibilities. I think people are just moving forward on amyloid again because we have the ability to detect it and we can monitor it and we know we can probably lower it. But eventually, we should go after every possible target that we can explore in the brain.
Now, you're on the cutting edge of this research, so you more than anyone would know how far away from a really successful treatment of Alzheimer's we are. How far away are we? Is it years, decades, longer?
Well, I'm a bit of a Pollyanna, so I will say it's not decades. But I think there are a couple of very large-scale trials going on right now in patients who have already full-blown dementia. If those are positive, I'd say we're only a couple years away. If those are not quite positive but give us a signal that we're going in the right direction, then I'd say we're 5 to 10 years away. But we can't be decades away because it's an epidemic waiting to happen.
What about lifestyle changes? Is there anything, everyday habits, that people concerned about Alzheimer's should be aware of, should be doing?
Yes, I believe that there's growing evidence that exercise in particular is protective in the brain and may have some particularly beneficial effects in Alzheimer's disease. A number of studies over the past 2 years have suggested that even walking 6 to 8 miles a week can make a difference in the rate of brain shrinkage or the likelihood of developing significant memory problems. Some of the other ones, diet, crossword puzzles, these unfortunately don't have quite as much evidence, although the Mediterranean diet may be protective as well.
Well, Dr. Sperling, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
No problem. I really appreciate your interest in Alzheimer's disease.
That's Dr. Risa Sperling. She directs the Center for Alzheimer's Research and Treatment at Brigham and Women's Hospital.